Comics Radio.
Liegt an Senselke klöscht an son GTG Magdow. Frisch blinden jata folk jakten immer kläschiln jau. In liegenden Norschake da ich ingen överrel. Beschaga muads nin bega goilt at this unfadeel.
Well, it's my very great pleasure to welcome to the program this afternoon Claire Clanell, whom, as you may know, brought out some time ago an album of Manx unaccompanied songs called Fair Maid of Man, and then followed it with Let the Whole World Give Hearing, which is again a collection of Manx carols and songs. Claire, let me ask you first if you can give a brief definition or an explanation of the Manx carvelin, as it's called here.
Yes, David. The second record, may I say, is only of carols, and Carvelin Gilgach simply means carols Gaelic, or Manx Gaelic ones in this case. And these are for all seasons, which is something we have put on the sleeve of the record, because they can be used for various festivals throughout the year. But of course, naturally, we are concerned very much with Christmas today, aren't we?
We are indeed, yes, and we shall listen to some of these Christmas carols. But perhaps we ought to start a little bit earlier than that. In fact, go back to the time when you first discovered these, because they've been hidden in the dark recesses of a museum somewhere for a long time, I do believe.
Yes, there are supposed to be hundreds still in the Manx Museum, which have never been translated at all. But in 1891, a book was published with a selection of these, and these were written out in the Manx on the column on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side were the English translations made by various people over the years.
Were they accurate, those translations?
No, these are poetic ones. On the whole, they are Victorian ones and rather florid, and they are quite charming in their way. But I prefer absolutely literal ones, because in that way you get a wonderful insight into the way people thought in the days when they composed these carvelin.
Now, the album that you have out, I think, has a booklet accompanying it, doesn't it, which gives the translation of the Manx?
Yes. This.
Did you do that yourself, or did you have some help with it?
Oh, no. I do always translate quite literally everything I sing for my own satisfaction. But in this case, it was rather a large job, shall we say. So Mr. Doug Farragher very kindly did them for me, as he, as you know, is a very great expert on the Manx language, and it was the kind of thing he enjoyed doing, and he was most kind over it. So these are his literal translations. One or two are my own, which had been done previously.
Now, the people who composed these carvelin, what kind of people were they? Were they young people? People of any age? What do you think?
I think they would be people of any age. They were written by the people for the people, and I think anyone who had inspiration would get up and compose their own carvel and sing it. They would either compose their own tune, or in those days they would perhaps use one which was going the rounds. And it is said that they could be sung to practically any tune of the right meter, of course. But some, I think, must inevitably have been lost forever, because in those days they were able to write down the language, but they did not know how to write down the music, in notation anyway. And they had to transmit everything orally down from singer to singer. And if the gentleman had not gone round in 1891 and finally noted down these melodies, I think many more would have gone forever.
Yes, now, the tunes then, you've had to go elsewhere to find, presumably.
Yes, they were published separately. I don't think they have, I'm not quite sure about this, but I don't think they've ever been published together. The words were that I used were in the Carvelin Gilgach book, and then the airs came from a different book. And these had been arranged for pianoforte by W.H. Gill, and they're very beautifully done. But, of course, the instrument was not used in those days. It was hardly known. You couldn't get a piano into a little croft, after all.
No.
Nor would you have it down by the seashore for your folk songs.
Yeah.
And the only other instrument that was in use was the fiddle and perhaps the whistle for dancing.
Yes.
So that is why everything in those days was in unaccompanied Manx Gaelic.
And, of course, they were telling a story. It was a narrative and people... The
oh,
words
yes.
were more important than the music as well.
Yes. The Carvelin usually take a Bible story and the composer adds at the beginning and the end of the story his own verses of exhortation and telling people, for instance, not to be such sinners, to live better lives. I think they were very, perhaps, obsessed with sin in those days, but then it probably had a different meaning for them.
Is this a form of writing that you found elsewhere than other than the Isle of Man?
No, it is said to be absolutely unique, and I feel this is something that has never been emphasized enough, that we have something of which we should be very proud in the island. It's a part of our heritage, which is absolutely unique to the island and to the island people. And it has not perhaps been appreciated. And in these days of conservation and preservation, it really should be emphasized much more that we do have our own individual music and language and style of putting the two together, producing our own very beautiful folk songs. Those, I think, are quite different from anything else. They're very narrative, as you say. So are the Carvelin Gaeilge, and there is nothing like them. They are unique in European literature. I think this has been printed by an expert somewhere.
Now, when you say that there are a considerable number of verses to these, it must have been a little bit tedious for other people to have to listen to them, I suppose, in church. And B, they must have repeated a theme over and over in these verses. Have you had to edit them down a bit?
Oh, yes, naturally. There are anything from 20 to 90 verses. And the story is that the young girls used to fill their pockets with dried peas. And when they got a little bit bored, they used to start pelting their boyfriends with them. And, of course, everything broke up in confusion. And it is said that this is why the practice died out of singing these Carvelin at the Eilvery. That's the Christmas Eve service. But I think it's more likely because the language began to die out. The Manx Gaelic speakers emigrated, and there's an influx of English people, and times changed considerably in every way. And... This is what happened to it.
Well, now let's listen to some of the Carvelin from the new album. And what shall we begin with? Perhaps the one that in English is "This Day Was Born Christ Our Lord." Now you'll tell me what that is in the Manx Gaelic, I hope.
Shishoan le ru Christnin Jan. Which means "This day was born Christ our Lord. Why should I not sing? Why should I not give glory to God? He shall be forevermore alive." And then it continues to say about the glorious star being sent and the wise men in the east following that. And then at the end of 12 days, they found the tiny babe. And I particularly like the last verse because it repeats certain words so that one can learn them quite easily. And what it says is, "This day came the Lord to our aid. This day was born," this is Jurug, "the King of Israel." Jurug, this day was born, the Son of the Virgin Jesus Christ. And the lovely last line, "This day was born Emmanuel."
Thank you.
Did you find in any of these carols a section where there was something resembling a chorus or response from the other members of the congregation? Or were they purely solo items?
They seem to be purely solo items. There are one or two where they state question and answer, but I have not found any music for these. I have not touched those in any way, so I do not know quite what the principle was in that case.
Mm. Well, now let's have now another one. Again, something which is very much of this present season, A Babe in Bethlehem. Now, what's that in our Gaelic?
Igan ans Bethlehem. And this is repeated at the end of every verse. It's the fourth line of every verse. And what it is now we ought to keep this feast with clean hearts in memory of Jesus Christ, and how he came down to us as an earthly babe. And what it says is, when he took on the form of a servant, which of course is the interesting way in which they thought of it in those days, and was it not great, the humility and the love that was in Jesus Christ the Lamb, when he took on the form of a servant, a babe in Bethlehem.
Well, now, do you only sing these in churches, or have you taken them out elsewhere?
The Carvelin should only be sung in church services, but there are certain occasions when it's appropriate to sing them, perhaps in a concert near Christmas, or in a concert that is designed to show off the Manx Gaelic culture and the language and music of the Isle of Man. And then it's perhaps permissible. And, of course, naturally, one would sing them at a ceilidh of any kind. In the private home, that's quite different.
And very appropriately, I think, you recorded them in Kirk German at Peel.
Oh, yes.
Now, you deliberately set out to record them in church surroundings.
Oh, very much so, because the acoustics give the wonderful effect that is needed. I think these, in particular, need the acoustics. A folk song was so often sung in an intimate setting, but these were sung in church, and to float the voice down the beautiful aisle of Peel Parish Church, it was really a wonderful experience. I very much enjoyed it. And of course we chose Peel in particular for technical reasons in the first place, because it is quiet there. You will understand all about the problems of recording. And many other churches would have been equally suitable for acoustics, but the traffic outside is too intrusive. And it was beautifully quiet at Peel. We had to watch out for the clock chiming every quarter of an hour, but that was no problem at all.
And, of course, there wasn't anybody there to throw a peas at you.
No, definitely not. I haven't encountered that yet. I hope I never will.
Now, let's have another track from the LP. And this one is in English, Before There Were the Heavens.
Yes.
And I think you created your own tune for this, did you?
Yes, this is Before There Were the Heavens, or Created the Shining Angels. Well, before they created the Shining Angels, I had to create the tune to put across this carvel. I like the words very much. They are beautiful words, both in English and in Manx. And there was no melody extant. I could have used another one, but that seems a shame. One of the things I think should be done now is to try and create new Manx music. We can't just rest on our laurels and on the music that people created all those years ago, provided we do it very sensitively. Why shouldn't we go ahead and produce our own new Manx songs in every shape and form? The Welsh produce beautiful pop songs, you know, in Welsh. And I'm hoping someday we may have some Manx people who will do this. But in this particular field, there are so many beautiful carvelin that it seems a pity not to make use of them. And I thoroughly enjoy doing this. I find perhaps I have a particular affinity with these carvelin. And it is...
Why is that?
I don't know why it is. Do you think perhaps I was led to these? I don't know, because they have been untouched, well, comparatively untouched, for so many years.
It's extraordinary, really.
It is, yes. And I find it's no trouble to sing them. I have many more melodies. If I find a carvel which I like, it's no problem to produce a melody for it.
Right for all clowning. And the crew nine in full in cadet in. Boys for all night in two, and who in the real show is young.
Do you feel tempted sometimes to create the words as well?
No, not really. I have written an original song in Manx, but I don't count myself to be a Manx language scholar. I only have time for the music. Unfortunately, there are only 24 hours in the day. I wish there were 48 or 72 sometimes. So I have to concentrate on one aspect and leave the language to those who have particular talent for that.
Well, let's now have another example from the new LP. And what shall we take? My Dear Friends. What's that in Gaelic? You can say it. I can't.
McCursion Dear.
McCursion Dear.
Dear te un shornoch. My dear friends who are here tonight once more have met, and with one heart in the temple of God to speak together. This is really saying, in effect, thank God we are all here for another year. We've survived another year. And it goes on, I was one time thinking, searching the gospel of God, a heavy thought with great fear arose in my heart. Methinks I heard a loud voice up above me in the sky. There was such power at him who was speaking, it was heard east and west. O Lord, open up the knowledge to us as long as shines the sun, as soon as the bridegroom comes, that we may with him partake. Bridegroom, of course, being Christ. And it ends up, now glory and thanks and worthy praise be to Christ the Son of God, who will bring every true clean soul to rule among the heavenly host. Because they were very keen on telling you to live a good life so that you could go to heaven when you died.
If Doug Farragher has absolutely, literally translated those pieces, and I'm certain that he has, it seems fairly remarkable that the people involved who actually wrote them, and you say they're of all ages perhaps, were quite remarkable poets or able to construct language very, very well, weren't they?
Yes, they must have been. And here again, I think the Manx people, you know, like all the Gaelic races, they have very remarkable brains. They always say how well they do when they leave the island or when they leave Scotland or any of the Gaelic Celtic countries. They take their brains abroad. Perhaps they're not always appreciated as much as they should be in their native lands.
Mm.
But obviously, as you say, even in those days, they had a remarkable power of thought.
There's a great interest now in the Gaelic languages and Gaelic arts and music and so on. There's a revival going on. Has this enabled you to take your songs around outside of the island?
Oh, yes. I was very honoured to be asked to be the Manx singer for the Royal National Eisteddfod of Wales last year when they had a Celtic concert for the first time for many years. And all the Celtic countries took part in that. And when I'm in Scotland, I'm asked to sing, sometimes get on the radio. Once at a very, very good time, Scotland Today at 7:40 in the morning and repeated at 8:40 in the morning, just when everyone was getting their breakfast or getting ready to go off for the day. And of course, everybody heard this. Now, I don't take this as a personal matter at all. I'm very happy that in these cases, the Manx language and the Manx music is made known to a much, much wider public. If they like my particular way of presenting it, that is very agreeable to me, naturally. But what I'm concerned about is disseminating the Manx.
Claire, I'm glad that you do take this music around and about, and maybe there's something in the future that you can tell us about. Have you anything planned where locally you can be seen singing some of these songs and carvels?
Well, my next engagement, if you like to put it that way, is on the 19th of December. Nearly every church has its carol concert or its carol service on that day, I think. And I presented a concert at Colby about 3 weeks ago for the Ellen and Gail Society, and it was a great success. And I think they paid me a very nice compliment at Colby afterwards, because they promptly asked me, would I take their whole carol service on the Sunday evening, December the 19th? And it's completely mine. It's the ordinary carol service, I hasten to add, but they did ask for solos, so naturally I will give them a Christmas carvel in the unaccompanied Manx Gaelic, in the traditional way. There's also a beautiful translation of a standard carol into Manx Gaelic. And then there is a traditional tune, not a Manx traditional tune, but one which is well known and loved. But in the Methodist hymn book, it had only words suitable for New Year. So the simple solution was to write my own Christmas words for it, and that I have done.
Good. Well, I wish you success with that, and, of course, continued success with the records. And to thank you very much for chatting with us. Now, we've been talking for a while, and sitting here listening to all this has been your husband, Jack, who I'm sure has a great deal to do with the promotion of the records and running the business and the operation. So I think we ought to bring him in to have a word with him, don't you?
I certainly do, because he has been my tremendous stay and inspiration in all this. He encourages me in every way, and this is great help, as anyone knows, when they do this kind of work.
Now, you've been distributing the record, I think, sort of fairly worldwide. It's had very good reviews, for instance, in the national press and so on. You're obviously putting a lot of promotion into this venture, Jack.
Yes, indeed, because I felt that it was something not only worth doing, but just had to be done. And with Claire being able to sing, and with the machinery which I had, it was only a matter of time before we put the two together. And with a great deal of help from many people, we have produced first the folk song record, and after that we decided to make a special record for these carols, these Carvelin Gaelge.
Now, when you say with the equipment, I take it then that you did all the recording yourself?
I did indeed.
Yes. So you're not only the researcher, you're the recording manager, you're the promotions manager, you're the advertising manager. It's more or less a full-time job, this one.
It is a full-time job. And it's very, very interesting and very rewarding, because now, you see, with our records going to many parts of the world, we get wonderful letters coming back. And
well, here's one, for instance, yes, that you've shown me, which is from the United States.
Yes.
Many from them. Which would be fairly typical of the kind of letters you get. They're most appreciative of the music.
Yes, indeed. Especially people who live in far-off places, but who are very interested in Gaelic generally and in Manx Gaelic in particular.
Now, it's not a commercial venture, of course. I think we have to make that clear.
No.
And presumably, I think it might be fair to say that any recording venture of this nature in the island is more a public relations job than a venture which is going to bring back any financial rewards. In fact, you have to put more into it than you'd ever expect to get out, I suppose.
Oh, yes, indeed. After all, this is the sort of thing that happened in other countries like Scotland and Ireland, where the languages have nearly died out and the music so close to oblivion that had it not been for some marvellous people who went round and took it all down in notebooks. I think a lot of this beautiful music would have been lost. And when I was discovered that the situation was the same in the Isle of Man for the music part of it, I felt something had to be done.
Now, you set up a company and so on to promote it, Manx Musical Recordings, and you even have an office, which is very good. You're going in for it in a very good way. The product, I suppose we would have to call it in commercial terms, is nicely packaged, well photographed, some very, very fine explanatory leaflets. It's a most professional job, if I may say so. And you've got two super records of, admittedly, music that's probably of limited appeal. After all, anything sung in a foreign language is a little bit, I suppose, to a lot of people, is a little bit difficult to follow or to create the interest in. But you're onto an area here that obviously is of growing interest. Do you intend to continue with more projects?
Well, quite frankly, we have financed this ourselves, and with our limited finance, I think we've done as much as we can, and I've gone as far as we can go.
Mm.
But if anybody wishes to support us in the future, indeed, we have helped the tourist board. We gave them some of the background music for their Trade Allure film. We can always help to promote and help Manx music generally.
Still, it's very praiseworthy, and I'd like to thank you both very, very much for spending some time with us this afternoon. We recap now the two LPs, Fair Maid of Man and Let the Whole World Give Hearing, and they're available from Manx Musical Recordings of 1 Hope Street, Douglas, and I take it also in the best record shops.
Indeed. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Jack.
Dann sind Silke Klösch, dann sind die Gemagdau. Frisch blinden ja der Volk jagt und immer gläschieln ja. Die liegende Nuschake, der Schingen ever real. Beschag am Wadden in Bega, geult hat bis uns bei dir.
Well, that feature was made with the help of Jack and Claire Clonell, and once again there we have two people furthering the traditions of Manx land. And that brings us to the end of this edition of the Folk Hour, but we'll have more folk music for you next week. Let me remind you that in a moment or two we have TV Tonight, then we have a seasonal song from Luciano Pavarotti, and in place of the normal Concert Classics programme, we have a new monthly programme called Opera Pops, which begins at 10. You can get in focus once again with Percy Pritz. Goodbye for now, and the next half hour is mainly for women.